You're listening to Crossroads International Church podcast. Welcome. We hope this podcast will bless you from wherever you're listening to it. For more information, go to our website at xrgs.nl. And now, let's get into the podcast.
Hello, everyone. Bless you. Good for us to be here in the Lord's house. I just want to share just one thing with you before we get into today's sermon. It's already 10:15, so oh boy, that's a problem. As part of our vision of the kind of community and church that we want to be, had a meeting with the team and said, can we make available as part of our desire to live our faith beyond these walls and motivating each of us to each one bring one to invite people to go out into the streets and speak the gospel in line with the kind of church we want to be, what we're doing from this Sunday on. And I wanted to just share with you that you know is I've asked the team that we at the Connect Point make available every Sunday Albertain food gift cards. I've been made aware that there are times when people arrive here hungry. And we do not want to be the kind of church where anybody arrives and leaves here hungry, both spiritually and physically. And so, you need to know that there will be every Sunday. So if you're in that boat, or if you bring somebody that you know is in that boat, you can get Albertain food cards at our Connect Point, and it'll be there every week. We want to put action to our words, and we begin to slowly but surely, as we talk about Vision 2033, being a people that live out our faith in real and practical ways, we're beginning to shape and form. We ask that that is what God's Spirit will do for us as a community. And this is just one tiny small way that we want to come and step in alignment with what we feel God is wanting us to do. So you need to know that that's what's happening at the Connect Point and that that's available there. Also, just a quick reminder, Thursday, Ascension Day, 10:30, at the Elsrake Open Air Theatre just down the road in Amstelveen. We're going to worship God together on Ascension Day with other churches in Amstelveen. I'm excited about that. Bring your chair and your coffee, and we're going to have a wonderful time, 10:30 on Thursday to 11:30. Come, if you're not going to Opwekking, then that's the place you want to be. And we're sending, I think, like 70 or 80 or whatever, or 60, I'm not sure, young adults are going to Opwekking. God bless you. Travel safely. Hope it'll be a wonderful time for you. And may you know God's Spirit just in a powerful way. Our prayers are with you. Okay. Our sermon series, we are moving towards Pentecost, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit. And what I wanted to do this year, what I am doing this year, is looking at, so that you and I can get an idea of, or just reminded of, how the Holy Spirit works in the world and in the lives of individuals, in our lives. And so last week, we, in very broad strokes, reminded ourselves of how the Holy Spirit worked in the Old Testament. Today, we're going to look at how does the Holy Spirit work in the life of Jesus. So we're going to talk about Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Gospels. What do we see, and how can we be reminded about the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus, the Gospels? Next week, we're going to look at the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. And then the week after that, the Holy Spirit in the epistles. And so we're working our way throughout the Bible, looking at how does the Holy Spirit work. And my hope is that you will see, as we talk about Jesus and the Holy Spirit, that you and I will be inspired, but that also we will see how the stuff we spoke about last week and how the Holy Spirit works in the world and in people's lives throughout the Old Testament, you will see connection and parallels, and it will echo in the life of Jesus. Hence, also the message then is, in our lives. And I think the thing that I really want you to see is how in the life of Jesus, we see the Holy Spirit at work right from the beginning, from conception, all the way to his resurrection, all his time here on earth. We see just a life utterly reliant and dependent and yielded to the power and presence, the Spirit of God. And the message then is, if Jesus thought that this is how he needed to live whilst on earth, well, then surely you and I should make it our utmost priority in life to nurture a life utterly reliant, dependent upon, and yielded to, in tune with, sensitive to the Spirit of God. If Jesus thought and felt and believed that he cannot without God's Spirit, without the leading and the empowering of the Holy Spirit, then who are we to think we can do life without the Holy Spirit? So let's have a quick look. Let us very quickly remind ourselves the life of Jesus. I literally have 10 minutes, so we're going to quickly go through this. So let's look at the Synoptic Gospels quickly, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Synoptic means to see together, and that just really is because Matthew, Mark, and Luke tells the narratives of Jesus, his birth, all his stories, very much in a similar way. So if we look at Matthew and Luke, they both speak of the birth narratives of Jesus. So the events around Jesus' birth, and it really begins with, you remember the angel Gabriel coming to Mary and saying, hey, listen, you're going to have a child. And Mary is like, what? How's that possible? I've never been with a man. And then we read these words in Luke 1:35. The what? Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called the Son of God. And so here we see, right from the very beginning, as God Almighty takes on flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit involved in the shaping and forming. Echoes of what we spoke about last week. Holy Spirit involved at creation in the shaping and forming and giving life. And so too we see that here in the life of Jesus and in John the Baptist, by the way. In Luke chapter 2, I mean, we can talk about, I'm skipping this, talk about how even just then at his birth, the events around Herod and the shepherds and the angels and fleeing to Egypt and Holy Spirit leading them down to Egypt, protecting them, leading them back from Egypt, all that. So before his birth, conception, at his birth, we see the Holy Spirit involved all the time. Then we jump a little bit. Then you remember when he was about a month or so old in Luke chapter 2 with Simeon and Anna. You remember when Mary and Joseph presented Jesus at the temple. You remember that? And the Spirit of God comes upon Anna and Simeon, and they speak and they say, behold, we have seen God's chosen one. And they prophesy, giving us echoes of what Joel spoke about and promised in Joel. You remember? We see that here echoed in the life of Jesus right at the beginning. Hey, our eyes have seen, and they speak and they prophesy over Jesus' life. Every step of the way, we see God's Holy Spirit involved. Then we jump forward 30 years. Because I've got 10 minutes, so we're jumping 30 years ahead. John the Baptist is baptizing in the Jordan River. And he says these words in Matthew 3:11, we read it. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is much more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. That's dramatic, but we love it. The Holy Spirit and fire. So right there is baptism. We see John speaking about this. Then later Jesus comes to John to be baptized. And then we read this in Mark 1. Just as Jesus, so he's now being baptized. So just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Holy Spirit again, and a voice from heaven, you are my Son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Two important things happening right there at Jesus' baptism that the Holy Spirit is connected with and involved in. John's gospel gives us the full picture of it, but we read it throughout the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. Two important things. So as the Holy Spirit comes upon Jesus at baptism, it is, as it were, evidence of what the Holy Spirit is saying. This is evidence that Jesus is the Son of God. So it is a moment of belonging, ownership, claiming, identity sealed, the Son of God. And so the Holy Spirit involved in just speaking out their identity of Jesus as the Son of God. But John then tells us something else happens at his baptism. The Holy Spirit does not just seal his identity as the Son of God, but also his mission, where John speaks about, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So at his baptism, the Holy Spirit, identity and mission. The kind of work that God's Spirit wants to do for you and me in him, through him, giving us identity, shaping and forming us from our mother's womb. Every single day as we yield to him, Holy Spirit, will you shape and form and give me life? May I find my identity in you. May I find my purpose and mission in you. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. As for Jesus, identity, Son of God, mission, the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. He does that for us. Identity, children of God. Mission, continue the work of Jesus. Now we read in Luke 4. Now Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, we read, Jesus, Luke 4, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan, he was now just baptized, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. So now we get the idea of that the Holy Spirit not only wants to give us identity as children of God, and purpose and mission, but that he wants to lead us. This idea of leading us, guiding us into life's difficult moments, through life's difficult moments, through the wilderness of life, the dark days, the ups and downs. This idea that part, this is what the Holy Spirit did for Jesus. He led him. He wants to do the same for you and me. Lead us through those tough choices in life, every moment of our lives. Then after this, we read this in Luke 4, verse 14. Then after this, Jesus returned. So after he was in the wilderness, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the... So can you see, friends, every step of the way, every moment, every part of his life, God's Spirit was involved, integrated, not separated in this platonic way that you and I live in the Western world where we have little boxes for everything. Sunday's church, Monday is work, you know, Tuesday's work, and then there's family, and then there's holiday and vacation, and we put it and we separate it all in these little boxes, and they're not allowed to have anything to do with each other. But we don't see this in the life of Jesus. We see how every part of him, this integration, this work of the Spirit of God involved in every moment, every aspect of his life, is what God's Spirit wants to do for us. Whether it is your work life or your family life or your neighborhood life or whatever other life I can't think of now, but all of it is the point. So here we see, so Jesus, Luke 4, returns to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so now from there, he now begins his public ministry. So now we get this idea that not only does the Holy Spirit want to lead us like he did with Jesus, but he empowered Jesus. So the Holy Spirit wants to do the same for us. The Holy Spirit wants to empower us, equip us. Is any of this sounding familiar and connect to what we said last week? It should, because it's the same Spirit. This work of shaping and creating and forming, this work of empowering and equipping. We see it in Jesus' life. The Spirit of God involved as God Almighty takes on flesh in the shaping and forming. God wants to shape and form and give you life. At his birth, the Spirit involved protecting and guiding. At the temple, his childhood, baptism, identity, and mission. And his ministry begins. Then we see this. So then he comes, he begins his ministry, he calls his disciples, and then he says this to his disciples in Luke chapter 11, 13. He says, talking about Heavenly Father and earthly parents, and he says this in Luke 11, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, Jesus says, will the Heavenly Father give the what? To who? Oh, it's not up there. No wonder. Can it be up there? Luke 11, 13. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who So now, Jesus introduces another dimension of things. So he's saying, not just is the Holy Spirit for me and involved in my life, but actually, my disciples, what I want you to know is that, and you see how he leads me and guides me, but actually what I want you to know is that you can ask for it. It's for you too. So he teaches us that we can invite, ask. And then asks us to then yield to the work of the Spirit in our lives. Isn't that wonderful? Then in Matthew 12, Jesus heals this guy. And the religious leaders, they say, listen, he's healing this guy by, you know, the power of the devil. And then Jesus responds and he assures them, no, he's healing by the power of the Holy Spirit. So this idea of healing introduced. Right? And Jesus says this in Matthew 12. He says, but if it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. What an incredible verse. Do you know what Jesus is saying there? Must I read it again? But if it is by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Here's what he's saying. Where the Holy Spirit is at work, the kingdom of God is established. So now, here's what he's saying. You can ask for God's Spirit, that creating, empowering, guiding, leading Spirit. You can ask for it. And when you invite and yield to the work of the Spirit, wherever you and I yield to the work of the Holy Spirit, God's kingdom is established. In you and around you. When you and I say, Lord, just what's your heart for me? As I get out of bed and I put my feet, I'm sitting on the side of bed and I say, Holy Spirit, I invite you into my day. I yield to your voice and to your truth in my life today. Will you use me and show me and speak to me? And where I live in obedience out to that. Hey, Paul, on the bus, there's this weird guy who just shouted at you, but will you go and sit and talk to him? Yes, Holy Spirit, I'll go and do that. And I yield to that work of the Spirit. And in that conversation, the kingdom of God is being established in that guy's life and in my life and in that place. Whenever we yield, and this is what God's saying, what Jesus was saying, I want to establish the kingdom of God in you. And as you go, wherever your feet may fall, wherever my Spirit leads you and will empower you, the kingdom of God will be established. Amen. So we see how the Holy Spirit shapes and forms and creates and gives identity and purpose and mission, leads and protects, empowers and heals. Invited by Jesus to invite and ask for the Holy Spirit. He says, will you invite and will you yield? And when you invite and yield, the kingdom of God is established. Isn't it beautiful? We see this in the life of Jesus. And then, you know, but the Gospels end there. Matthew's Gospel ends with where Jesus gives his mission to us. He says, you continue with my work. And then he introduces something that we take for granted because it's all normal for us now. But this was new and revolutionary, what Jesus said. And go into all the world, making disciples, baptizing them. And then he said what? In the name of the Father and of the Son. What? And Jesus introduces this beautiful new thing. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Can I quickly talk about John's Gospel? Okay, I've got 1 minute. John's Gospel. Okay. John's Gospel, the last of the Gospels written around 80. John spent time with Jesus. And so he writes this, and this way, and you must understand. So John writes this not as a journalist or as a critic, but he writes this in many ways as a theologian. He writes John's Gospel, having spent an entire lifetime reflecting upon his time with Jesus and writing in such a way that he wants us to understand the significance of who Jesus is and what he teaches to us and who he wants to be to us. And so from that perspective, John is written, why it's my favorite book and why it's so beautiful, because we learn about the so what Why does this matter? The difference that it makes. And John writes with that, and he writes about Jesus' baptism. In John 1, we say this. John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remained on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who we baptize, who were baptized with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I've testified that this is God's chosen one. So again, this idea of identity and mission. John echoes that. So here John uses something interesting, and he talks about being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Can I just pause there for a second? Theologically, we can speak a lot about what it means to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But I think why John spoke about being baptized with the Holy Spirit while he was physically baptizing people with water in the river, why he connected those two, he was trying to make one point in particular. I think there are many that could be made, but the one I want to highlight is this. And this is what I'm going to have to leave you with, I think. Ish. John talks about being baptized with the Holy Spirit while he's baptizing people, and he gives us this picture, this metaphor, if you will, this image that he wants us to understand. And it's this. So here, pictures. Here's John. So he's baptizing people physically, literally being baptized from head to toes, being dunked in the Jordan River from head to toe, the water washing over them, being covered completely from head to toe with this water. And it's in that moment that he says, and Jesus will baptize you in the Holy Spirit like that. And the idea is, the image he wants to leave with us is this idea kind of very similar to what Sam was saying, of being immersed, being drowned in, being flooded by from head to toe, every part of you, every fiber of your being, every bit of your DNA, every molecule, every part. God's Spirit wants to invade and transform and shape and heal and establish his kingdom. And now you take this person who has been baptized, immersed, drowned in the Holy Spirit, and they go to work. Oh boy, good luck to the colleagues at work. And then they go to the shopping center, and the kingdom of God's established, and the kingdom of God's established, and the kingdom of God's established wherever God's people go. God wants to immerse you, flood you, drown you from head to toe in the presence and power of God Almighty, the Spirit of Truth. Okay, this is page 5. There are 9. So I'm going to end, because I want you to pray for one another. Okay. Closing remark. Often when we speak about the Holy Spirit and we think about the Holy Spirit, we tend to focus on the Pauline writings, the epistles, you know, Galatians and the like, about the fruit and the gift of the Holy Spirit. But can I actually say this to you? I think some of the most, if not the most important chapters about the Holy Spirit is found in John's Gospel, chapter 14, 15, 16. Go and read them, because I can't preach about them now. But you go and read them. John 14, 15, 16. That's your homework for this week. Go this week, tonight, tomorrow morning, the next morning, the next morning, the next morning. And as you open your eyes or as you close your eyes, say, Lord, I invite and yield to your Holy Spirit. Will you immerse me and flood me? Will you shape me and form me, empower me, lead me, guide me, establishing your kingdom in me and wherever I go? And then John speaks beautiful things about these rivers of living water. And there's a duality in that rivers of living water. Go and read John's Gospel. He says that this is what the Spirit will do. And he speaks into this yearning, this longing, this thirst that we all know, we all have it. And he says the Spirit of God will come and will be a river of living water. Who doesn't want living water? Hello? But there's a duality, and it says, not only will the Spirit run rivers of living water into every part of who you are, but as God's kingdom is established in you, you will be a river of living water to those around you. I receive living water, I give living water. John 14, 15, 16. Here's what I want you to do. I'm sorry that we ran a bit out of time, but, you know, it's how it goes. I want you to turn to the person next to you. And rather than me pray for another, preach for another 5 minutes, I want you to pray for the next 5 minutes. I want you to turn to the person next to you. And if it's uncomfortable, I'm sorry. But I want you to turn to one another. I want you to pray for one another. You know, I said this to us last week. The older I get, not old, the older I get, I just become so aware as I look at the example of Jesus, how the fact that you and I cannot live without God's Spirit. We just cannot. And life is short, and it's fragile, and it is a mist. It is here today, and it is gone tomorrow. So here now, in this moment, don't waste it, don't miss it. Turn to your friend and pray this. Say, Lord, I pray for my neighbor, my friend. And I ask that you will shape and create life in them. I ask that you will empower them. I ask that you will lead and guide them. John's gospel talks about being the Holy Spirit being our advocate. Oh, that's a whole sermon right there. An advocate, someone who comes alongside. Pray that the Holy Spirit will be one who comes alongside you, helping you and establishing his kingdom in you. Pray for your friend that they will be immersed, flooded, drowned from head to toes in the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray for one another. Do it now.